Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study, and happy Pentecost, everyone. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and the entire show will be devoted to questions that people ask about the Holy Spirit. Pastor Brock, our first question, what exactly is Pentecost?
Okay, so everybody follow this. Jesus was not born on 1 AD when you think he would have been. Anno Domini means first year of our Lord. There was a calendar error in the Middle Ages. Jesus was probably born more like 3 BC and died about 30 AD. So he dies on the cross 30 AD or so. Then rises from the dead 3 days later on Easter Sunday. And then for 40 days, Jesus pops in and out and appears to the disciples. Mm-hmm. Then he takes them on top of the hill. It's called the Ascension. And he says, disciples, you're going to get the Holy Spirit. Wait in the city till you get the Holy Spirit when you're clothed with power from on high, and then they'll go out and evangelize the world. Jesus floats up into heaven, and they're all staring at him. Angels appear, say, why, men, are you looking up into heaven? Jesus is coming back down someday the same way you saw him go up. So they go into the city, and for 10 days they wait for the Holy Spirit. I don't think they quite knew what they were waiting for. And then here's what happens. The word Pentecost means 50. And so it's 50 days after Passover. Jesus died about Passover. And 50 days after, the Jews would come together from all over the Roman Empire, crowd into Jerusalem, speaking different languages from different areas. And they would celebrate the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, which was the harvest festival. All right, so God knew how he was timing this. Here's what happened on Pentecost. The apostles and Mary and other believers are upstairs in the house praying. Mm-hmm. There's a loud wind noise, like a tornado noise. It's the Holy Spirit comes into the house. Every disciple gets filled with the Holy Spirit and gets a flame of fire on his head. They go out into the streets because the Jews have gathered to hear this strange noise. And here's Jews from all over the Roman Empire speaking different languages. Well, now all of a sudden Peter can speak, we'll say, Laodicean or something. And Andrew can speak, something else. And so it's an amazing thing. And they're preaching the gospel. Mm-hmm. And 3,000 people got baptized. It's called the birthday of the church, Pentecost. So that's what happened on Pentecost.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what we celebrate, the coming of the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Okay. Should Christians celebrate the Jewish Feast of Weeks?
Yeah, that's called Pentecost. There are some groups, that Christian groups, some of them, that are insisting we go back and celebrate all the Old Testament Jewish festivals because God told us to do that, so why aren't we doing it? Well, it's kind of like God also has the Passover for the Jews in the Old mm-hmm. Testament. Christians don't do Passover because the Apostle Paul, who was Jewish, said, our Passover lamb, Christ, has been sacrificed. Mm-hmm. So we don't celebrate Passover every year. And there were a number of things that were given just to the Old Testament Jews mm-hmm. that Christians are not, I mean, like eating a pork. You couldn't eat pork in the Old Testament. That was given to the Jews. In Mark 7, Jesus declares all food clean. So I can have a hot dog, Mona, without feeling guilty about it. So I think, nothing's wrong with celebrating the Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks, but what Christians now celebrate on Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit. That's the big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Did the apostles have the Holy Spirit before Pentecost?
Well, when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to the disciples, and he breathed on them in John chapter 20, verse 22, and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. And whoever sins you retain, they're forgiven. And the apostles got the Holy Spirit during the resurrection days. Mm-hmm. So why do we go to Jerusalem and wait for 10 days to get the Holy Spirit? Mm-hmm. Well, I think the Holy Spirit came in power on Pentecost. Even some Old Testament believers had the Holy Spirit. David, after he sinned, prayed, God, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. So even Old Testament believers could have the Holy Spirit, but mm-hmm. the fullness and power of the Holy Spirit didn't come until Pentecost.
Mm. Who is the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit is God. Let's explain this. There's only one God. In God are three eternal persons, God the Father who made us, God the Son who died for us, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, not three gods, one God and three eternal persons. All three persons of the Trinity are God and eternal. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God the Father have always existed for eternity and always will. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is God. And he was with the Father and the Son when the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit created the universe.
Who is the Holy Ghost?
That's just King James English for the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, same thing.
Same thing. Okay. Yeah. Should we call the Holy Spirit it or he or she?
We should call the Holy Spirit he, because he's just as I don't call the Holy Spirit it. The Holy Spirit is the person of the Godhead, mm-hmm. and so I call the Holy Spirit he. Some of the very liberal people now in our mainline denominations call the Holy Spirit she or her. No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of the Father, so I call the Holy Spirit. And you know, the other thing is, a cult called Jehovah's Witnesses, they don't believe the Holy Spirit is a person. They think he's just a force or a power. But when we say three persons in the Godhead, we don't necessarily mean there are three thrones in heaven with the Father, Son, and a dove sitting on them. Person meaning a personality, mind, intellect, will, emotions. God, all three persons are of the Trinity are a person in that sense. And so Jehovah's Witnesses say, no, it's not a person, it's just a force. Well, the Holy Spirit talks in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. A force doesn't talk. In Ephesians, Paul says you can grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, you can't grieve a force. So it is proper to say one God, three persons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why don't we hear more about the Holy Spirit in church?
Well, some people call the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity, because here's what Jesus said in John 15, verse 26. When the Helper comes, the Holy Spirit, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. So the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to point to Jesus. Mm-hmm. So again, I think we should talk more about the Holy Spirit in church, but it just seems that the Holy Spirit's purpose is to point people to Jesus. Yeah.
Okay. Should we pray to the Holy Spirit?
Well, good question. Mona, let me ask you. When you pray, do you pray to the Father or to Jesus or to the Holy Spirit? How do you pray?
To the Father.
Okay. And I think that's the norm. In the New Testament, we pray to God the Father, and then we close our prayer in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Do you ever pray directly, Lord Jesus? Do you pray to Jesus?
No.
You can. Because there are places in the New Testament, Stephen is being stoned and he looks up and, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Other places in the New Testament where people pray to the Lord, which would be a reference to Jesus very often. Mm-hmm. So I think you can pray to the Father. You can pray to the Son. There's not an instance in the New Testament when somebody prays to the Holy Spirit. Do you ever pray to the Holy Spirit?
No.
See, I sometimes pray, Holy Spirit, fill me and help me talk to my brother-in-law, or Holy Spirit, give me peace today. I think it's okay to pray to the Holy Spirit. In the church's history, we pray, come Holy Spirit. You know, that's a hymn, I think. Mm-hmm. But the norm, we pray to God the Father in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. But I remember when I was 13, my confirmation pastor saying, you know, you can pray to any of them because they all hear it because one God, you know. Mm-hmm. So there
True.
You go. There
True.
You go. Yeah.
Some churches teach that to be saved, you must speak in tongues. Is this true?
Uh-huh.
And then the second part was, some churches teach that if you receive the Holy Spirit, you will speak in tongues. Is that true?
Okay, let's talk about the first one. Do you have to speak in tongues to be saved? Absolutely not. And because there's only one thing that saves us, what is that, Mona? What's the only thing that saves us?
Jesus
on the cross. And the problem with the Galatians, they were saying, well, yeah, Jesus saves you, but you also have to get circumcised. And Paul writes the whole book of Galatians saying, no, Jesus alone saves us. We're saved by Jesus plus nothing equals salvation. Mm-hmm. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. Mm-hmm. Our salvation is complete in Christ. So you don't have to speak in tongues. You don't have to get circumcised. You don't have to abstain from pork. You know, we're saved by Christ alone. Mm-hmm. So churches that teach you have to, Pentecostals are normally fine. But there's a cult called United Pentecostals. They deny the Trinity, and they also teach you have to speak in tongues to be saved. Mm-hmm. No, Christ alone saves us. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Grace alone.
Yeah.
Where exactly is speaking, or what exactly is speaking in tongues?
All right, so at Pentecost, like the story goes, they went out into the streets. I mean, talk about divine timing. If God wants to get the gospel all over the Roman Empire, when will you have the gospel start? On Pentecost, where people are all over the Roman Empire in town to take it back to Laodicea or Ephesus or wherever. So the apostles were speaking actual languages that they didn't know, but they were speaking in tongues that these foreigners understood so they could take it home. Now, there's a second kind of speaking in tongues, which is kind of a private speaking in tongues. And if you want to read 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, and Paul says, if you're speaking in tongues in church, somebody else needs to have the gift of interpretation to tell everybody what you've said to them in English. And if there's no interpreter, if somebody doesn't have that gift, then just be quiet and pray to yourself. So there's a private praying in tongues where you, in your own prayer time alone, talk to the Lord. But then there's also the public speaking in tongues if there's an interpreter.
Can you ask for that gift?
Yeah, Paul says, I would that you all speak in tongues, but even more that you may prophesy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we should pray for whatever gifts you'd like, but the Bible says the Holy Spirit apportions to each one as he wills. In other words, you can pray for healing, you can pray for the gift of tongues or miracles, but the Holy Spirit decides who gets what. So don't force it. Mm-hmm. I've been to some churches where, all right, everybody open your mouth, start moving your tongue, and God's going to give you the gift of tongues. Can you imagine the apostles doing that? That's nowhere in the New Testament. Just pray, and if God gives it to you, he gives it to you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Does the Holy Spirit give new revelation today?
We want to say the New Testament, the last book written in the Bible was Revelation, written about 90 to 100 A.D., when John the Apostle put down his quill, the Bible was through. And like he says, you don't add to my book of Revelation or take anything away. This book is done, talking about the book of Revelation. Is there new revelation? No, there isn't. So if you've got a religion that has the Bible plus another book, like the Book of Mormon, or the Bible plus the Key to Science and Health by Mary Baker Eddy, or the Watchtower magazine with Jehovah's Witnesses, no. And, you know, I remember being on a plane once opening my Bible, and the guy next to me was a Mormon. He opened up the big Book of Mormon. Boy, did we get into it. And my point to him was, and his dad was an evangelical Christian who begged him not to come on that two-week Mormon stint that he was going to, and I just felt dad's prayers put me right next to this guy. Because one of my points was, the Bible alone is our authority. Joseph Smith was a $3 bill, the founder of Mormonism. His Book of Mormon just contradicts Scripture. So no, yes, the Bible was complete in 100 A.D. You don't add another book.
In Galatians 1:8, doesn't it say, even if an angel from heaven should come down and give you something different, let him be accursed?
That's exactly right.
He says it
right.
Twice, so he's emphasizing.
Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't give us, I mean, I'm a Lutheran. I think Martin Luther's teachings are very biblical and helpful. And does, you know, St. Augustine and some of these great saints, wonderful. But they're not Scripture. Okay.
Yeah. Does the Holy Spirit ever leave a person?
Well, you know, I heard a pastor say, see, in the Lutheran liturgy, we sing this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and remove not thy Holy Spirit from me. That's from Psalm 51, after David committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband. He feels terrible guilt. He writes Psalm 51, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And so I heard a pastor say, well, we should never sing that because God never takes the Holy Spirit from me. Well, then why did David sing it? Mm-hmm. It's in the Bible, mm-hmm. Psalm 51. So, and it says in 1 Samuel 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. So, can you have the Holy Spirit, and then he leaves? Mm. This is a hard one, because once you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, there are verses that sure make it sound like God's going to keep you in the faith now. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I'm trusting. There's enough in the Bible, though, that like 1 Samuel 16:14, where the Spirit of the Lord left Saul. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be a little mushy on this one. I believe God saved me, gave me the Spirit. I believe the Spirit will never leave me. What would happen, though, if I was to reject Christ and live a life of sin? Mm-hmm. I better be scared to death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
What does it mean to quench the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, if you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it says, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. So to me, I think they're equated. Mm-hmm. One way I quench the Spirit is by despising prophecy. If the New Testament, Old Testament, filled with prophecy and the teaching of God. So, or a good teacher at your church who's teaching the scriptures, if you despise that, mm-hmm. you're quenching the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So be careful on that.
Yeah. Okay. What does it mean to grieve the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, this comes from Ephesians chapter 4. And Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you. So, in context, reading Ephesians 4, the way I grieve the Holy Spirit is when I use rotten words, is when I have anger, clamor. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus wept. The Holy Spirit can be grieved when I use rotten words.
Okay.
Yeah.
How can I distinguish between my own thoughts and the voice of the Holy Spirit?
Isn't that a hard one? So Mona, I'm going to tell you this story. I knew a Baptist pastor. They had a prayer meeting on a Wednesday night for this little girl in the church that was dying. They all prayed real hard, and they got a sense God's going to heal this little girl. And they went home claiming, we know God's going to heal this little girl. And the next morning, she was dead. And the pastor said, I learned at that point not to confuse my strong emotions with the Holy Spirit. So how do I discern my thoughts versus what really is the Holy Spirit? Or somebody comes up to you in church on Sunday, Mona, the Lord gave me a word from the Lord for you. You're supposed to move to California. Mm-hmm. You know, this kind of thing. Well, how do you know, is this the Lord or is it not? I do believe God can give supernatural leading like he did in Agabus, the prophet in the book of Acts. So let me give you a fivefold test. How do you test if it's the Lord or yourself? Like I've said many times in the show, dreams are from one of three places: God, the devil, or pizza. Mm-hmm. All right, so how do I know if I have a dream or you say something, if it's the Holy Spirit? Test five ways. Number one, we're commanded to test. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So you're not being a doubter. If somebody says to you, God told me you're going to be healed in 3 days, if you doubt that, that's not sinning. You're supposed to test it. Mm-hmm. So number one, it's okay to test. Second thing to say, test it against Scripture. I had a seminary professor who told us that when he was a pastor in his parish, a woman came in and said, Doctor, I won't give his name, the Lord told me you and I are to be lovers. Well, she had a husband, he had a wife. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That's in the Bible. So you test everything against Scripture. And then next thing, bounce it off of others. Mm-hmm. It says in Proverbs 11, in an abundance of counselors, there's victory. So I say, Mona, somebody just told me they had a word from the Lord for me that I'm supposed to move to California. Does that sound right to you? Mm-hmm. All right, I would bounce it up. And then pray and trust. James chapter 1 says, if you lack wisdom, pray in faith, and God will give you wisdom. So you pray about it. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, practice. Hebrews 5 says that we have learned to discern between good and evil through practice. Mm-hmm. And I've shared on this show, when I was 14, I had a dream where I saw Jesus, and he said, God's time will come in 18 years. Mm-hmm. 18 years from when I was in a ninth grade was 1986. I was on my toes all year. Is it the second coming? Something huge going to happen? And what happened? Nothing! Mm-hmm. And I learned that every dream is from God, the devil, or pizza. And I also learned just not everything that really looks like it's from God is. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible says nobody knows when Jesus is coming back. So if you have a dream that tells you, yeah, we do, well, you don't. Mm-hmm. So again, let's review this. Practice. It is okay to test things. Test them against Scripture, bounce it off of others, and then pray. Yeah. Excuse me.
Okay.
There you go.
What is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? I'm afraid I may have committed this sin, from a viewer.
All right, let's read this. In Mark chapter 3, it talks about the blasphemy or the speaking evil against the Holy Spirit. And it says this, Mark chapter 3, verse 28. Truly, truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. Jesus said this because the Pharisees were saying Jesus has an unclean spirit. So, excuse me, Jesus is casting a demon out of a boy. And the Pharisees said, well, yeah, he casts demons out, but he does it by the power of the devil. And Jesus says, you've committed the unforgivable. Mm-hmm. You've called the Holy Spirit in me the devil. Mm-hmm. All right. So, and now and then, as a pastor, somebody will come into your office. You know, Pastor, I said something once against the Holy Spirit. Is it possible for me to ever be saved? Mm-hmm. I don't think this is talking about a one-time slip of the tongue or even a one-time evil thing you said consciously. Mm-hmm. It's... The Pharisees had this settled attitude against Christ and the Holy Spirit. And so the Luther's response was, if you're afraid you've committed the unforgivable sin, you haven't. Because mm-hmm. people who commit that sin are so hard-hearted, they don't care if they're if they've committed the unforgivable sin. But nevertheless, be careful what you say about the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What
does the Holy Spirit do in our lives?
All right, so... the time for this. Here we go. What does the Holy Spirit do in our lives? I'm going to quickly share seven things. Number one, the Holy Spirit converts you. I mean, do you know that you didn't convert you? It says the Lord opened Lydia's heart to receive the things said by Paul. And it says in 1 Corinthians 12, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So if you're a believer in Christ and you watching this show, you're a believer in Christ, you didn't do that. The Holy Spirit came into your heart, opened your heart like he opened Lydia's. And the first thing the Holy Spirit did is he converted you. Martin Luther put it this way 500 years ago. I believe in the Holy Spirit. What does this mean? I do not believe that I can, by my own reason or power, come to my Lord Jesus Christ and believe in him. But the Holy Spirit has done that. So there you go. So his Spirit converts us. And secondly, John 16, the Spirit convicts the world of sin. I remember a lady that joined my church years ago. And, you know, Pastor Brock, I didn't know what a sinner I was until I started coming to this church. and when the Holy Spirit works on you, mm-hmm. he opens your eyes to see how much you need Christ mm-hmm. and how sinful you are. So the Holy Spirit converts you. He convicts you. Third thing, Acts chapter 1, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power and become my witnesses. So he gives you power to witness. What turned Peter from this cowardly fisherman who denied Jesus three times to this bold preacher on Pentecost that converted 3,000? The Holy Spirit. So if you're having trouble witnessing, you say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me witness today. Mm-hmm. Quickly, a few others. The Holy Spirit produces obedience in us. Ezekiel chapter 36, God says, I will put my Holy Spirit in you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes. So he produces obedience in us. Now, it's not perfect obedience. Mm-hmm. We won't be perfect till heaven. But it's called the process of sanctification. Sanctification means the process of being made holy. It's a lifelong process. It has its ups and downs in my life. Some days I'm close to the Lord, some days I'm not. But it's a process called sanctification by which the Holy Spirit makes us holy. Now, Mona, I'll show the people. See this ugly red thing in the middle of my ear? Well, my skin doctor had to cut that out about 3 weeks ago. It hurt. But if he doesn't cut, it's the non-serious kind. I'm not dying. But it's the non-serious kind of skin cancer. If you don't get rid of it, it just gets bigger, bigger. That's what the Holy Spirit does. We have stuff in our life that for our good, he cuts out. Mm-hmm. And we just need to allow the Holy Spirit in his way in this process to make us holy. But it's a process. Mm-hmm. It ain't overnight.
Praise the Lord.
Yep. Just a few others. The Holy Spirit comforts us. John chapter 14, a widow said, you know, Pastor Brock, when I was going through my husband's funeral, I almost felt like somebody held me the whole time. I think that's the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He's called the Paraclete, which in Greek means the called alongside one. He comes alongside us in our sorrows. And that Jesus said, John 16, the Holy Spirit teaches us. And 1 Corinthians 12, every Christian is given one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So let's review all this. What does the Holy Spirit do in our life? He converts us. He convicts us. He gives us power to witness. He makes us obedient. He comforts us. He teaches us. And he gives us a spiritual gift. So, there you go. We got 2 minutes left. Go one last question.
Okay. Does every Christian have one of the spiritual gifts? And can you have more than one gift?
All right. There's about 19 gifts of the Holy Spirit if you put all the lists together. Mm-hmm. So let me list them. Everybody has at least one gift of the Holy Spirit, because Paul says each one gets something from the Holy Spirit. Speaking, serving, prophesying, teaching, helping, administration, encouraging, contributing, leadership, evangelism, mercy, wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, interpretation of tongues, hospitality. So every Christian has a spiritual gift, something God has made them good at. And that's where you want to serve the Lord. Like, Mona, you don't put me over the finances of the Pastor Study TV show. That's not me. But we have a guy who's really gifted in finances that does that. But I know how to preach, so that's what I do. You know, whatever your gift is, mm-hmm. you want to serve the Lord where you're gifted, not where you haven't been gifted. And so just those are some of the gifts. And yes, you can have more than one gift. Paul the Apostle had various. It never says you can only get one. So, and sometimes I think for a season you can have one gift and then another. So,
what if you really don't know what gift you have?
Then you pray for it. God, reveal to me, and then other people will tell you. You know, you say, "What do you think I'm good at?" Oh, you've got such a gift of hospitality. Well, that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So that you pray, and then again you bounce it off of others.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, Mona, that's about it. We just thank you for seeing our show. You know, we've got more questions on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to have to do a second show called More Questions About the Holy Spirit. But just thank you for praying for our show. Pray for us, please. Pray the funds come in so we don't have to withdraw from stations that can even expand. Watch more of our shows right there, and you can contribute there. God bless you.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.